Blog Talk Radio.
The election. The election is a battle in a war. It is not something unto itself. The result of this election in itself is a matter of indifference. It's a question of how the battle is won and lost, which is important. But there's another issue. There's also an issue of World War III. And World War III is between British Empire, better known as the Anglo-Dutch liberal banking financial system on the one side, and the principal nations of Eurasia, Russia, China, India, and other nations, are the targets of intended warfare by the British Empire, which is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted, and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which had any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and the parts of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States in the top layers of society the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, neither is morally fit to survive. They're as unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and the 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against that evil empire.
Phil Armstrong, a.k.a. Jay Signal, and I'd like to welcome you all to the show. Sorry for the long intro. You are never supposed to have a long, long intro like that, but I do, and I enjoy long intros. So I'd like to welcome everybody out there to the Prophecy Zone, and we're going to take a look at the movie 2012. We're also going to be talking about the Obama administration and various other things that is going on. The French president and the Israeli president met, and it was in the eyes of Nicolas Sarkozy that Israel is pretty much serious of leaving war military option on the table with Israel, with Iran, excuse me. And Russia seems to be hinting towards sanctions on Iran. Now, that doesn't seem kosher with today's climate between Israel, Russia and Iran. Seems like they've been bedfellows for a while. And that is only going to get much better as the Christmas season. No, I was just joking. Their relationship, Russia and Iran's relationship, has really frustrated in the last couple of decades, years at least. It really got better last couple of years. But Israel is toying with the idea of attacking Iran, and they said if the sanctions don't work, that's what's going to happen. But we know what's going to happen. Just like the United States kept saying, if the sanctions don't work against Iraq, we're going to go. If the sanctions don't work, what happened eventually? Okay. Now, we don't know 100% if this that would agitate a regional war. And then that regional war turned into Ezekiel 38:39. Now, there are some people out there who believe that, Psalm 83 will come to fruition first, and then Ezekiel 38:39. I believe that Psalm 83 will come first, then Isaiah 17. And then Ezekiel 38:39. It's just my belief. Okay. I'm gonna explain something to y'all. On my page, there is a video box that says "Go Live." I also has them on emblem, which is cut short, and I'm gonna have to get a smaller emblem from the guy to design my. I might even have to make my own. So when you go on my page to listen to this radio program, even the archives, you're going to see a box, two boxes, one with a map, and I'm pretty sure you are aware of that on other people's pages, including my page. It's a map loco, L-O-C-O, and that tells how many people have been on your website, and that's pretty popular amongst the internet. And then you have the live video, which shows me live, supposedly, but I, matter of fact, my camera's off. I have a camera that is on my Apple computer, and it's off. And I've been toying with these things, with this stuff for a while, and I have no idea of what's going on. So I don't think you can actually use the same camera for two or three applications, or one of those applications is going to steal your camera from the other. But the Go Live is supposed to show me talking to y'all live, and then later on, probably in January sometime, I'm gonna be showing like videos at the same time, and he's probably say, "Well, that's going to distract our attention from listening to you." Well, I'm going to be showing myself and listening, but it's not about me; it's about Jesus. Okay, if it was about me, then I would be somewhere else. And we have to tell ourselves over and over again, it's not about us, it's about Jesus. It's about getting the gospel out. It's about man's destination. The Bible says there are two of the most important things that you need to absorb. If you read the Word of God and you're still puzzled on how to live that Word of God, think about these two things. Love the God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And another one's like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, some people love themselves with all their heart, mind, and soul. So God was knocking out pretty much two birds with one stone by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the other one's like it, love them, your neighbor as yourself. Well, when people love themselves with all their heart, mind, and soul. So also in January, I'm looking towards getting some people on my show. And if you're a Blog Talk host and you have something interesting to say about the Word of God and prophecy, and it doesn't have to be solidly in prophecy. It can be sort of, you know, talking about the relationship with God, your experiences, if you're a missionary, anything that gets the word out. I'll be loving to hear from you. And I am sort of doing the ums. My sister said she listened to the radio program, and she said there was a lot of ums. And I was not trying to get any of my relatives to listen to any programs. Matter of fact, I'm just myself. But then I thought about it. Hey, I'm doing God's work. I better get rid of the ums as much as I can. The Bible says to study to show ourselves approved, a workman, and need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I would like, love to read God's word and put that number one, and then read books that have to do with the simplicity of the gospel. I don't want to get too complicated. When you start picking up these books that you don't understand, if you pick up a book, a Christian book that you don't understand, and if you pick up a book that glorifies the writer, now if he started telling stories or she started telling stories about herself, and they're sort of beating them around the bush to talk about Jesus, then you need to put that book down. If you pick up a book that's like blowing over your head, it's like over your head, you need to put that book down and pick up the Bible, because a lot of those books out there are good. Like I had this one book, I'm not going to tell you the author of it, but the book was about the battlefield, which is the mind. And this book is an awesome book. And I have some questions about the writer, a very popular person out there on the circuit. And I'm like, this person has wrote an awesome book, and not yet they're out there buying toilet seats worth $7,000. And I'm not judging them. I'm just saying that this book was an older book from this individual. And it was an awesome book. And it talks about the battle of the mind. And if anybody out there, like I said, who is a Blog Talk Radio host and can come on talking about the battle, and I'm not talking about UFOs and stuff, and I'm going to touch on that too. If anybody out there who talks about UFOs, that's fine. Because in the Bible, it talks about, and God should send them a strong delusion. The movie V, I believe, has some cretins in the last days. And I think just in the days of Noah, if you read the Bible, these demonic forces came down to habitate and have sex with the women, and they had kids. So could demons possibly be aliens later on? Yeah, probably so. But what I was talking about is I want various types of Blog Talk Radio hosts to come on my show. And I have another show called Zomega Radio, and my website for that will be up pretty soon. And it's also, if you have some time, go on ZomegaTube.com. And I sort of left some stuff empty so people could fill it up, but I'm going to go ahead and finish it up myself. But ZomegaTube.com is just like YouTube, but go, feel free to go in there and upload some videos. And going back to what I just got to saying 5 minutes ago, and that's one of my problems. I got an hour and 13 minutes, and sometimes I just skip over stuff because I'm so in a hurry. But I need some hosts from Blog Talk Radio who could talk about various things. I don't know if it's the temple of God in the Old Testament, if it's your prophetic experiences, if it's your missionary experiences, if it is your experience as far as Bible prophecy is concerned, UFOs, like I said, robots, Israel, if you have expertise on the European Union, I'm going to touch on that tonight about the true beast that came out of the sea. And I'm going to touch up on that tonight. But if you have some inside scoop on secret societies, because people say, well, how's that going to get people saved? Well, trust me, it got me to come over to God, even though without the Spirit, you cannot be drawn to God. But the Spirit used Bible prophecy. And yes, the Word of God is the Spirit of prophecy. Okay? So the prophecy, one-third of the Bible is prophecy. Okay? And a lot of it still has not been fulfilled yet. Well, a lot of it has, if you count Jesus, of course. But of course, we're not in the tribulation period. Okay? So if people out there who just email me, let me know. If you can be, and we're talking, I listen to your show and see what you're about, and then you come on my show, and then I come on your show or whatever, because I'm going to be promoting. And then I'm going to also go outside and of Blog Talk Radio and get people who have radio programs and got some clout also, kind of like Ralph Apperson or, you know, Stuart Griffin or, you know, some of those guys out there who can come on my show, some senators or congressmen or businessmen or doctors, lawyers, or somebody who knows about specific issues, because I can't stay in this position too much longer where I'm sort of just throwing shows out there with no plan. You know, God wants us to have vision. Without vision, the people perish. Okay? Also, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And also distorted knowledge. So when people look the other way and they don't want to hear the truth will set you free. Somebody tell you need to take a bath, and people didn't want to be around you in the first place, and you wonder why, and all of a sudden you start taking baths and they want to be around you, the truth has set you free. You probably laugh out loud, huh? But God is for us. And he loved this country. And he used this country to preach the gospel. And we must bring truth to this country. Okay? But anyway, we are living in perilous times. We're living in the last days. I just went to see the movie 2012. And it was sort of like Deep Impact with a lot more emphasis on graphics, a lot more emphasis on schematics. But it still had a good storyline. I'm not going to tell you about the movie in general, but it was good. But nothing can ever touch the Bible in reality. What does it say? It says reality can be more stranger than fiction. And nothing's going to touch the tribulation period at all. So you think something's going to touch the tribulation period? Think again. Nothing's going to touch the tribulation period. Tribulation period is going to be 2012 on steroids. Okay? Matter of fact, an overdose of steroids. You can't touch the tribulation period. The tribulation period is going to be something that a man would never, a woman would never forget. And I can almost bet you the kitchen sink, if I was a bad man, that people in the tribulation period are going to be getting saved because they are, I just heard an echo. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to be right back. Hello, welcome to the program today. My name is Phil Armstrong, and for the next 53 minutes, we're going to be talking about Bible prophecy and what's going on. My bad, I hit the wrong button. Sorry about that. That was an old show.
Epistle of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
Hallelujah.
To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. The Illuminati. We need to look at the Bible as it prophesies an end time antichrist that will come upon the saints and will mesmerize the world. Well, he will do according to his own will. He will magnify himself above everything that is God, everything that is called God. So, what is the platform of the antichrist? Now, I've heard a lot of things about the Antichrist since I've been studying Bible prophecy and reading about it. I can tell you this. The Antichrist will be, you know, if it's a revived Roman Empire, who was in charge of the Roman Empire? The Caesars. Caesar Nero, people like Julius Caesar, Nero, and I forgot the one emperor. I'm gonna have to think about his name, but these men were wanting emperor worship, and they wanted to be worshipped. And it was close to wanting to be God worshipped. So when do you think the Antichrist is going to be? He's going to be a emperor or another form of a Caesar. You say, well, the Bible accounts him as being over the revived Roman Empire. And if he is over the revived Roman Empire, then he is going to be a modern day Caesar. And he's going to be a... And the Bible says that the whole world shall follow after the beast, who has his number and who has his mark. So whoever has his mark will be following this guy. And the Bible says whoever has the mark has no way out of hell. Okay? So let's read Revelation 13. And then it says, in Revelation 13, it says, "Then I stood on the sands of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it was had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast." So these people are going to be devil worshipers. Unless the devil's cloaked in some other religion and they don't know, but I think this is straight up demonic worship. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven." Now, why is he blaspheming those? Grab your Bible, if you have your Bibles, and look at Revelation 13, verse, I think, 6. And it says, let me read it again. It says, then he opened his mouth and blaspheme against God, to blaspheme his name, as if that's not bad enough, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Now, why? Answer yourself a question. Why? And I'll iterate on why. I'm going to keep going on the Antichrist, but this rapture thing gets me. Why is he the Antichrist? And people are looking for the big picture, and they seem to miss everything from looking at the big picture. You say, "What do you mean? Shouldn't you look at the whole Bible?" Now, I'm not talking about the whole Bible. I'm talking about the big picture. They'll take a piece of scripture like Ezekiel 38 and 39 and say it's Armageddon without just stepping back and looking at. You need to look at all the evidence. Okay, and I'm gonna come back to Revelation 13 in a second, because I'm gonna make a point. In order to place Ezekiel 38 and 39 in Armageddon, first you need the Antichrist. Then you gotta acknowledge that, hey, the word peace is not found anywhere in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Please find it for me. Now, the Bible talks about when they say peace and safety, total destruction shall come upon them. And the Bible says, "By peace he shall destroy many." Now, some people put this Ezekiel 38 and 39 at the beginning of the tribulation period, and some people put it at the end. It's either, and I don't see how to get any or. If you got one piece of evidence, you could take somebody to court. Now, if you got one piece of evidence, then you have to properly place Ezekiel 38 and 39. Then I'm going to go back to Revelation 13 in a second because I'm going to make my point. I kind of skipped over that for right now. But it says that Israel's dwelling safely. Now, the Antichrist comes in a peace platform. And he shall confirm a covenant promising to protect Israel for one one 7-year period. And if he's going to do this for Israel, the Bible says that by peace he shall destroy many. Now, the word safety is only used in Ezekiel 38 and 39. The word peace and safety is not there. Peace is not even there. We got some people who go and they study in Bible prophecy for years, and they miss this point. So if he's not saying peace, if peace, the word peace is not in there, but safety, safely, they're dwelling safely, is used. There's some vulnerability there. So Russia decided that let's go ahead and go down and get them. But they were not dwelling, the Bible says they were dwelling safely. Okay? And the Bible talks about when they shall say peace and safety, total destruction shall come upon them very quickly. And it does not say anything about, it talks about when it's, it talks about the tribulation period that people are saying peace and safety. So we're deep into the tribulation period. So the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period will be the Antichrist, heaven on earth. But the second, three and a half years will not be so peaceful. Now, let me read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, but concerning the times and seasons, brother, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord should come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then total destruction shall come upon them as labor pays upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. It says, but you, brothers, are not in darkness, that the day shall overtake you as a thief. Now, in the tribulation period, there should be 3.5 years of peace. The Antichrist comes and he solves the world's problems. But Israel is not dwelling peacefully in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Not at all. They're dwelling peacefully after Ezekiel 38 and 39. Matter of fact, the Antichrist's reason for rising up, and I'm trying my best to stay away from speculation, but sometimes you speculate. It's kind of fun. It shouldn't be a prideful thing to speculate. But some people think their version of Bible prophecy is ironclad, and I don't want to really think that. But I do think that about the rapture of the church. Because what gets me so upset about the rapture of the church is many people are looking for the Antichrist instead of Jesus Christ to come back. And to me, I do believe that looking for Jesus Christ is a purifying hope. Okay. Now, the Bible talks about in verse 11 of chapter 38, it says, you will say, I will go up against the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them to a peaceful people. Now, here the word peaceful people is absurd. Now, that this book that I'm reading is a New International Version Bible. Actually, it's a NIV. And I want to go to the King James Version and see if that word is in there. Because I seem to not see it in the King James Version. It says, "And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest." Now, rest could be exerted as peaceful. But if, and this is the King James Version, if God wanted you to interpret this as peacefully, he would have said it like he said it in Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, "They are at rest that dwell safely." Now, dwelling at rest is sort of peacefully, but it's not a solid peace. It's not a solid peace. Russia will invade Israel prior to the tribulation period starting. That's something that many Christians will see, but do not look for it. If that's the case, then go ahead and believe that it's going to happen, if that is Armageddon. I really don't give a darn. But I don't think we should spend our time trying to figure out when Jesus is going to come back and then do what we want to do until then or live complacently. And that is a trap that the devil would love to get us in. Oh, man, the devil would just love to get us into complacency. But Israel in here, in this chapter, is dwelling safely and complacent. I don't really think Israel ever dwells complacent. I think the United States dwells complacent. I think Great Britain. I think we're on the isles. The Bible calls them the isles. He says, "I shall send fire upon the coastlands and the islands." The coastlands is like New York and Los Angeles, or San Francisco. Okay. But yes, we are in some perilous times. We are in the last days. And let me go back to Revelation 13 and point out that the Antichrist is talking negative stuff about the people who are in heaven. Now, the word church is not found after chapter 4. But the word church is mentioned 19 times prior to. So if this is the case, then why is the Antichrist blaspheming and those, it says, and those that dwell in heaven? What does he have concern over those who are in heaven for? Unless the world is starting to get over disappearance of millions of people, and he's saying these people were taken by aliens or whatever, UFOs, or these people, we have to get rid of these people to cleanse the spiritual realm. I think the Antichrist is going to be Islamic, but I think he's also going to start creating his own religion. People that are beginning to be saved are going to think he's a weirdo. This dude's getting crazier every day. You know, it's the guillotine, or however they're going to be hit. It says people should be beheaded. Now, you know that there are companies out there who are making guillotines now. There's stockpiles of guillotines that, just like there are caskets laying all across the United States. And people got it on YouTube, and yeah, they plan to kill people. If it ain't by virus, it's by natural disaster. And these guys do have control over earthquakes, hurricanes. They have control of weather. That's why they think they're God. Oh, you didn't know? Prince Philip Prince Queen Elizabeth's husband said he wants to come back as a virus so he can kill off people because they think we're sucking up stuff. But if it weren't for us, you wouldn't be so rich, would you? These people are beyond moronic. They're beyond crazy. They're crazy. And let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, starting at verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputers of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Now, it is a stumbling block to the Jews, and it's foolishness to the Greeks. What did Peter say to Jesus when Jesus told them that he was going to go to the cross? Oh, Master, no, it cannot be so. Away from me, Satan. That was a stumbling block. He stumbled right over it. Right over that this person who did all these miracles and claimed to be God, which is God, will soon be offered as a sacrifice. He stumbled right over the simplicity of the gospel. To the Greeks, it's foolishness. Go try to go to work in this Christian so-called nation and talk about Jesus. It's foolishness. I've already tried that. Been there, done that. Stupid. Hypocrites in the church. Go try to. Go to church in this Christian nation, supposed to be a Christian nation, and talk about Jesus. You actually think you're going to? I doubt it. You're not going to hear anybody. Well, they'll talk about the New England Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts tonight. Playing on Sunday Night Football. Oh, they love to talk. Oh, shoot. You can get many conversations off football. You can get a whole posse of people talking about football. Or talk about Jesus. If this was a Christian nation, trust me, there'd be more excited people about Jesus than there are Super Bowl. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. But it brings... This is... The thing, we should not be ashamed of the gospel. If this is a Christian nation, no, you will be fighting. Your sister call you, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Instead, let me tell you what this girl had on. She had on this ugly green dress. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a nice Christian nation, all right. And I'm getting to plank out my eye first, too. Okay? I'm not just saying everybody else. I'm talking about myself as well. God has to live through me. I can't do it. I'm a lost soul without God working through me. I am so lost. I'm lost without God. God is all that and more. God has created this world for us to enjoy and to multiply and have kids and do this and that, but we have to abide by, we have to go to heaven God's way. All roads do lead to God. What you talking about? What you talking about, Willis? All roads do lead to God, but one only leads to heaven, and that's through the cross. All these other roads, the Bible says, broad is the way. Jesus said, broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many there find it. So there's many roads to lead to destruction. We will all stand in front of God and give an account. So all roads do lead to God. Just only one. It says only one mediator between God and man, that's Jesus Christ. That's 1 Timothy 2:5. Now, let me talk about the UFO thing right quick. And I'm going to say that God said that he was sending them, the people in the tribulation period, a strong delusion. Now, here's the deal. All those Hollywood movies, including 2012, has nothing on the tribulation period. And everybody will play a role. It will as be as if, whatever you've seen in 9-11, September 2001, 9-11, it felt like everybody was in a movie. I was in the Army at the time. It felt like we were all in a movie. I mean, it felt like, wow. Okay? The tribulation period will be as if everybody's planning a movie. Even if you don't even know anything about Bible prophecy, or you don't know, or you even denying it, it even is true. Everybody will be playing a role. So these movies to me, like 2012, is just that, movies. Nothing interprets the Bible like the Bible interprets the Bible. Nothing can interpret the end times because the Bible has the patent on prophecy. Nostradamus don't have no patent on prophecy. Edgar Casey doesn't. What's that chick that died in the... what's her name? I forgot. This lady was just miss all kinds of stuff. I forgot her name, but she's prophesying. Oh, I want to talk to Edward Kennedy and blah, 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 blah. You know, and you are, lady, go sit down. That's what you want to say to her. Go sit down. And then you notice there ain't too many modern day prophets, Christian prophets. And I am not going to mock any modern day Christian prophets, but there are some false prophets out there who come in sheep's clothing. But let's talk about the UFOs for a second. God says that he shall send them a strong delusion that they'll believe the lie. Now, I'm not going to speculate what that is. But I will say what I believe it is. And when I say speculate, that's me trying to influence you to believe me. I mean, maybe that's a bad analogy of speculation, but it could be UFOs. Or it could be like 9/11. I'm going to tell y'all, and I know y'all, some people out there believe 9/11 just happened and just wow, oh, kumbaya. But nobody asked the question, why did the planes hit so far up and the buildings came down? It's ridiculous. I think every American should have did that. But it didn't. If they can have that type of strong delusion, if you go on YouTube and you punch up 9/11 conspiracy, you're going to find some real evidence just on YouTube alone that says that this thing was a scam. And even to a point where you say, okay, 9/11 was supposed to be 19 hijackers from Saudi Arabia, but we wouldn't blew up Afghanistan. It's still there. I said, well, you criticizing the president. The president was put there by God. You know, I was also given children by God, but my kid gets 19 years old and decides he wants to drink and drive. I'm going to criticize him. So we have to be able to look at things. We can't just put our head in a hole like an ostrich and expect everything to go away. Oh, please, the hungry, feed the hungry. Let's put my head in this hole and it'll all go away. When I take my head out of the hole, every kid will be fed. I was at church today and they did a skit. And it was based off of a book that was called The Holes in Our Gospel. And it was basically that people... There are hungry people everywhere, and we should be helping. But it was saying in one of the skits that who's going to help the people? God, why haven't you helped these hungry people? And God turns around and says, why haven't you? And that is the truth. We need to be the ones who are helping feed the hungry. because there's many people out there across our land, even in the United States, are hungry, and we need to help feed the hungry. I'll be back after these messages.
You think you know what's coming? You don't have a clue.
You gotta tell someone. Most important thing in the world, but you knew they'd never believe you.
I try. The life you know, all the stuff you take for granted, it's not gonna last.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
And after 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order. And instead, it looks like we got a lot of disorder.
Good evening, everybody. President Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon today calling for a new world order to tackle our global economic crisis. President Obama said globalization can be an enormous force for good. Prime Minister Brown again pushing for what he calls a global new deal paid for by the United States.
So is this some sort of a new world order, which Gordon Brown kind of alluded to?
I think the new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
What they are going to do is to put our Fed and our SEC under the control, in effect, of the IMF.
Oh, come on.
They believe they'll do this. That's what was in the draft agenda. They call it coordination of regulation. What it really is putting the American economy under international regulation.
Yeah.
And those people who have been yelling, oh, the UN's going to take over global
conspiracy
government.
Conspiracy theories.
They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Yeah.
Well,
the latest technology for identifying people with a phone detail, for identifying people when they're making purchases, is actually the implantable chip that you can actually embed directly into human flesh. It's a tiny glass capsule about the size of a grain of rice. It contains an RFID computer chip.
In those chips, right, there'll be no more cash. And this is giving me straight from Rockefeller, so this is what they want to accomplish. And all money will be in your chips. They can just turn off your chip, and you have nothing. You can't buy food. You can't do anything. It's total control of people.
And that chip's connected to a database that has your purchasing records, what you do.
Everything. Everything is in there. You know? And so they want a one-world government controlled by them, everybody being chipped, all your money in those chips, and they control the chips. And they control food. And you become a slave. You become a serf to these people. That's their goal. That's their intention.
Sir, you be sure.
The ultimate goal that these people have in mind is the goal to create a one-world government run by the banking industry, run by the bankers, where
Just bring it in. Don't. Are going to be in bondage to this international body because the international bodies are going to slap regulations and penalties on us for making too much carbon monoxide poisoning, they claim. We're killing the globe. That's what they claim we're doing. And if they can get us on that issue, they have us by the guts. Here's a guy from Britain who is amazing person talking about climate control treaty that in Copenhagen this December. Lord Rothschild, let's listen to him.
In satisfaction of what is called coyly a climate debt, because we've been burning CO2 and they haven't, and we've been screwing up the climate. We haven't been screwing up the climate, but that's the line. And the third purpose of this new entity, this government, is enforcement. How many of you think that the word election or democracy or vote or ballot occurs anywhere in the 200 pages of that treaty? Quite right, it doesn't appear once. So at last, the communists who piled out of the Berlin Wall and into the environmental movement and took over Greenpeace so that my friends who founded it left within a year because they'd captured it, now the apotheosis is at hand. They are about to impose a communist world government on the world. You have a president who has very strong sympathies with that point of view. He's going to sign. He'll sign anything. He's a Nobel Peace Laureate. Of course he is.
Okay, that was Lord Christopher Monckton talking about, I said Lord Rothschild. And, I don't know where I got that from. But, Lord Christopher Monckton, he warned us that we are heading towards a president of the United States signing this bill that would slap regulations on the United States. And let's listen to part three, I don't know what part one is.
And the trouble is this. If that treaty is signed, your constitution says that it takes precedence over your constitution. And you can't resile from that treaty unless you get the agreement of all the other states' parties. And because you'll be the biggest paying country, they're not going to let you out. So, thank you, America. You were the beacon of freedom to the world. It is a privilege merely to stand on this soil of freedom while it is still free. But in the next few weeks, unless you stop it, your president will sign your freedom, your democracy, and your prosperity away forever. And neither you nor any subsequent government you may elect will have any power whatsoever to take it back again. That is how serious it is. I have read the treaty. I've seen this stuff about government and climate debt and enforcement. They are going to do this to you, whether you like it or no. But I think it is here in your great nation, which I so love and I so admire, it is here that perhaps at this 11th hour, at the 59th minute and the 59th second, you will rise up and you will stop your president from signing that dreadful treaty.
Okay, I'm asking the question. There's nobody in the chat room, so I'm trying to see if actually the microphone was actually working or not, and I'm not going to find that out until a few minutes from here, and I'm starting to think it's not working. all that time. Oh, it is working. Okay. Okay, so that's fine. I'm happy. As long as the microphone is working, then that's good. We're going to do some advertising a little bit later on to try to get people to come on to the show. And there are certain days where I can get a lot of people on, and there are certain days where I can't, but I don't really do any advertisement. I just sort of, out of the spur of the moment, do these shows. Now I'm thinking every Sunday night at 7 will be a good time to do these shows. And then maybe in the middle of the week, I will do some shows as well. But thank you for those who did show up today. We're going to be, like I say, doing more shows throughout the week. But I'm going to probably pray about it and ask God to lead me in the direction that He wants me to go in as far as when do you want me to have these shows, because it is very important that we get some type of study pace going on these shows. And I'm going to try to line up some guests. And I really don't know what to do when there's a problem, because it's just a lot. And once I get my other computer back, I'm going to be able to run live web streaming of my page so you can see my ugly face. And then at the first of the year, I'm going to be able to show you guys, people, different types of documentaries and things on the page that I'm running straight off the switchboard. So there's going to be a lot of interesting things happening in the coming days. But if Jesus is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us, okay? It's very important that we realize that there is no private organization that can take us down. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And those people who are out there who have to pop, you know, take pills for depression, God is the Prince of Peace. He says, go to Him, you know, go to God and put everything on His shoulders and let Him carry you. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. But He's not here to bring pressure of stress on you. He's going to relieve those stress, but you have to be submissive. You know? I'm talking to me as well. God wants us to be submissive to His call. And yes, He is calling people out there. Everybody out there has an individual role to play in God's kingdom. And if you're not saved, get saved. Come over to God. It's not just a one-time event, though. You have to acknowledge that. Salvation is not a one-time event. It's not an event where you just say, okay, I'm going to go to a Billy Graham crusade, say a prayer, get up, and live like there's no tomorrow. No, God wants us to have a changed life. It's like a football player has to have certain disciplines to stay a football player. Just ask Pac-Man Jones, just ask Terrell Owens, okay? You have to have a certain discipline to stay there. If you have to have a certain discipline, even the Bible talks about certain disciplines. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Even though God is the one who works it out, you must offer yourself as a living sacrifice so He can work that salvation out of you. It is God who does the work in us, but we have to do the work. It's sort of like Abraham, Moses, who says, I can't talk. I'm not a professional speaker. He says, well, what about your brother Aaron? But what happened, though? Moses still had to go to Pharaoh. He was nervous. He still had to go to Pharaoh and say, well, if you do not set these people free, we're going to do this. God is going to do this. They had to walk miles and miles. They didn't have cars back there. You know, you had to have faith for that Red Sea to pop open. Now, God did the work, but Moses, you don't think Moses had to have a lot of emotional problems. The Bible says he's the meekest person on earth. Now, why would Moses write that about himself? It makes you wonder if you really meek, if you write, I'm the meekest person on earth. But God wants to work through us, and it is him to do the work and him to do the miracles and him that sees us through. And that's in Philippians 1:6, chapter 1, verse 6, that he has finished that good work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. And yes, we are to look for that day of Jesus Christ. We are to look for that day where Jesus will come back for his church. I'm going to be doing some advertising, a lot of advertising, to get people to come to the show. We're also going to be promoting my new website once I get it finished. The structure is already there. I just got to put news on it, on Prophecy Zone. I made it too big at first back in like May, April, May time, and I had to shrink it. And I also have www.prophecyzoneradio.blogspot.com. You can go check that out. And like I said before, you can also check out www.zomegatube.com. That's Omega with Z in front of it, tube.com. So go check that out and see what you think. But I want to talk quickly about abortion, and I'm going to try to get this guy on here that has a website about anti-abortion, of course, on here in a couple weeks. But listen to this young girl talk about abortion.
What if I told you that right now someone was choosing if you were going to live or die? What if I told you that this choice wasn't based on what you could or couldn't do, what you've done in the past, or what you would do in the future? And what if I told you you could do nothing about it? Fellow students and teachers, thousands of children are right now in that very situation. Someone is choosing, without even knowing them, whether they are going to live or die. That someone is their mother, and that choice is abortion. Every day, 115,000 children are dying through abortion. 115,000. That means that 5,000 children would die every hour. All those lives, gone. All that potential, gone. And all that hope and future, gone. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Oh, it's not really killing, after all, a fetus and a child. Right? Why do we think that just because a fetus can't talk or do what we do, it isn't a human being yet? The word fetus comes from the Latin word, meaning young one or young child. Some babies are born after only 5 months. Is this baby not human? We would never say that, yet abortions are performed on 5-month-old fetuses all the time. Or do we only call them humans if they're wanted? No, fetuses are definitely humans, knit together in their mother's womb by their wonderful creator, who knows them all by name. Some people might say that, since abortion's legal now, it doesn't matter.
Okay, this young lady is brilliant, isn't she? Well, abortion is running rapid. If you're out there and you had an abortion, I pray for you. If you're sorry, then God will forgive you. If you're not, then God will still sway you to come to him. All ye who are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Because one of these days, chickens going to come home to roost, and you are going to be sorrowful for that abortion. But God is a God of forgiveness, and he has his arms wide open for us to come to him. Now, I hope this, I had this microphone turned down greatly, and I hope y'all still could have heard me. I probably was super low. This is probably one of the shows where I'm trying to figure out what's a good time to do a show, and I'm still thinking Sunday night, but I'm going to have to really pray about that and see where and what's a good time to have a show. And God will bless us for that. Now here's some part. Oops. Here's part two of this girl.
And just last year, over 42 million abortions happened worldwide. I'd say that's a huge impact. I know some people say that the mother has a right to abort. After all, her life is dramatically impacted by having a baby. But I'm asking you to think about the child's rights that were never given to it. No matter what rights the mother has, it doesn't mean we can deny the rights of the fetus. Talking about the mother's choice, the mother may have had a choice not to have unprotected sex in the first place. We must remember that with our rights and our choices come responsibilities, and we can't take someone else's rights away to avoid our responsibilities. At this point, I imagine the age-old question arises. What if the mother didn't choose to have sex? What if she was raped? But let's look at the facts for the U.S. as an example. Only...
Okay. she made a lot of sense, and... Brilliant for her age. Matter of fact, she's a genius. Women's right to choose, but the baby has no chance to have any rights. But I still say this, though. At the rate the world is going, I am so against abortion, it's ridiculous. So this might sound retarded to some people. But if I was some of my friends who died and probably... The good percentage of them are not in heaven. And say, how do you know that? Well, the Bible says the broad is the way, many there be that will find it. And the illustration of how they die, some of my friends died of a crack overdose, or somebody might have died of who got shot, and leaving a promiscuous lifestyle. And I'm pretty sure I'm not going to be stupid about it and say that they're in heaven. I wish they were in heaven. You know, but I will not find out until 100% I'm get there. But if a child is born into this world and able to get to 18 or 19 and make a wrong decision about Christ, then if you look at the abortion with the glass half full, that's the only way you can think of it, that the mother took the decision away from the child so the child could make no dumb decision to go to hell. And you probably say, well, that's not a good synopsis of the... Well, I apologize if I offend some people, but that's true, though, if you really think about it. I hate abortion. Matter of fact, I'm going to start a campaign against abortion greatly. But at the same time, I'm saying that if you're going to look at the glass half empty all the time, if you look at it half full, you're going to say, well... That individual can't grow up to make a decision to be affected by society and be affected by his own parents and to be affected by his wife or her spouse, her husband, to not serve Jesus. There's only one way to God, and the percentages don't look right about now for the majority of people. Of course, in the tribulation period, billions of people get saved. Millions of people get saved. So my point is that I'm against abortion. But if somebody has an abortion, you can actually look at the glass half full and say, well, that person don't have to, because they immediately go to heaven once they die. Now, there's some vicious abortions out there where I'm anti-abortion. I'm against any type of abortion. When I look at my child, I want to just choke up. When I look at all my kids, they're not all mine. Three of them are not mine, but two of them are. One of them is, and one is on the way. But I choke up to think of my kids, and I think of anybody's kids. When I pick my child up from the daycare, I just look at those other kids, and I just love them. I can't have them all because my little boy drives me nuts. But I just look at them like, wow, you guys are so... My heart is just, like, really sensitive right now to kids. So I am against abortion 100%. But I you have to sometime, if somebody passed away in your family, after the grief, there has to be some time, some way or another that it, there is a something drives you to God. So you have to look at the glass half full sometime. Because if you don't, and you look at the glass half empty, somebody's going to come and suck the rest of the drink out of it. And it's going to be totally empty. So we have to look at, there has to be hope for those kids, those babies that die before they are born. I believe the right to live is a right. For them to say a mother should have the right to abort, the woman's right to choose. Well, the baby should have the equal right to live. And without that, the lady's right to me is void. That's why I believe abortion should be outlawed. But when you have a Republican president like George Bush, and you still have abortion, why do you even bring abortion up? It cracks me up, these people, these politicians, they always bring an abortion up just to run on. But it doesn't mean anything to them. Because it's population control for the New World Order. We want to kill off. I am Prince Philip, and I want to come back as a virus. I want to kill off many people. Man, don't you got something else to think about? You live in this giant palace, and you're rich as all outdoors from marriage, and you sitting up there talking about you want to come back as a virus and kill off people. That's crazy. That is retarded. I think that is sick. So these people want to kill us off, so they're going to keep abortion, of course. And I guarantee you, if you try to get rid of abortion, you're going to be shot. You know what they used to say, what some people say about Kennedy? He thought he was president. That's why he got shot. He decided to go against the New World Order. He decided to go against the grain. These secret societies, I guess him and Bobby figured out these guys are trying to pull the strings, probably had some visitors come in and say, you better do this or you better do that. Because the current president we have now is, yes, master, no, master. What's wrong, master? We sick. We sick. That's the problem. The president is just a puppet. That's why they can't get rid. President Bush would have never got rid of abortion. President Reagan would have never got rid of abortion. You run on abortion, you try to sign an executive order, they're going to cap you sooner or later just off that one thing. They don't want you going offline with nothing. Why do you think the status quo stays the status quo? Saying the more things change, the more things stay the same. There is no such thing as change, change, change. We're going to bring change to this nation. I want to bring change. Repent. That's the change you need. That's the change this country needs. We need to repent. Turn towards God. Change directions. Go towards God. That's the change, change, change. Change that we can believe in. As a matter of fact, this was so much hype in the election, the past election, that you know when them giant suns out there in the universe is like 100 times bigger than our sun? That's how much hot air is in this change crap. Change what? We say, well, you said you weren't going to criticize the president. I'm just asking questions. Actually, if you read Romans chapter 13, it talks about totally just saying, straight up, I'm not paying my taxes, I'm not doing anything, just rebel. I'm telling you that even though I agree with President Obama about this is not a Christian nation, and anybody who disagrees, that would be fine to write in or whatever you want to do, but this is not a Christian nation. A Christian nation is actually has Christian like Christ. The nation will be like Christ. Monday Night Football will not be ushered in. Football won't be important. Jesus will be important in the Christian nation. Well, you driving a hard bargain, son. Why, yes, I am. I'm not a crook. I drive a hard bargain. I'm not judging nobody. I'm just telling you the actions speak louder than words. Yeah, Laodicean. If you want to decide this is a Laodicean nation, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's worse than Laodicean, actually. It's a secular society. We live in a secular nation now. Once was is not. If you have a pretty, you remember a high school graduation back in 1977, and you had this really beautiful woman, and then you see her later, and she's just really not the same. Is she still pretty? Now her heart is probably pretty. Well, say it's not though. Is she still the same? Can she say she's still pretty in the eyes of other people? Not in her eyes, but in her. The beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. That is true. And this might be a bad illustration, but I'm saying that if we say we once was a Christian nation, we can't live off of, yeah, I used to. Remember Pharaoh, anybody out there watching Napoleon Dynamite, remember his uncle? I forgot the uncle's name, but I once was going to play NFL football. I would have been great. I would have been great. You can't live off what you was. Because what you are today or tomorrow, you can change. But what you were, you actually can't change it unless you get better in the future to erase what you did in the past. And the Bible says that, and my people who are called by my name will pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will cleanse their land. If we keep telling ourselves we are a Christian nation, we'll never be able to pray and repent and turn from our wicked ways because we won't know. We don't know if we're going around saying I'm pretty, I don't need any make, I don't need to put any deodorant on because I smell okay, and somebody says, oh, everybody starts laughing at you saying you funky. When do you draw the line? I need to take a shower. I need to put some deodorant on. I need to brush my teeth. When are you going to figure this out? We need to clean ourselves. God is willing. Just like he did in the book of, just like he did with Joshua. He went before the God and the Satan was there to accuse him. Okay, we got 1 minute, a few minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and just talk real quick. Yeah, I'm going to start inviting people out. I'm going to try Sundays. If not Sundays, we're going to move to another day. We're just going to keep trying Sundays and Thursdays. And we're just going to go from there. And we're going to plan. We're going to start on Monday trying to make the plans on what we're going to talk about. And we're going to try to stay up on the current news also. So that's going to be kind of a challenge to keep the current news current and still talk about what happened throughout the week. Okay. I'm also going to try to get these live streams on live video on, and I'm going to try to get these maps still there because I want to find out who's listening to the show. But God bless everybody out there. And we're going to be seeing y'all on probably Thursday and probably Sunday. And I might even just go with Sunday for right now. And maybe a shorter show throughout the week just to talk about the news and what's going on. But I suggest everybody still go out there and see 2012. It's not a bad movie. I think they should make a movie based off the Bible. And there still hasn't been one made, even by TBN. There's not been one. Left Behind is close as you can get. Okay? So before y'all criticize Left Behind, y'all need to go see this movie. It's not biblical. It's not based off Bible prophecies. It's based off 2012. And it's not really based off the Mayan calendar either. But God bless everybody out there. And y'all have a wonderful day. God bless. Thank you.
happen.
Yeah. Turkey lovers will wait nervously. Eliminate the guesswork. Choose a private selection, grade A butter-based turkey from Fred Meyer and relax. Only the very best turkeys qualify to be private selection. Pop-up timer, giving you a precisely cooked turkey that'll make your moment of truth a moment of perfection. Private selection. Taste goodness. What's on your list today?
Eric is a Ford sales consultant. He's very busy. Tell me something. What are all these people looking for?
MPGs, great deals, and great leases.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah, or Fusion and Focus have it all.
Great fuel efficiency for a great price.
Great fuel efficiency for a great price. What else do you need for a great year-end event?
Thank you. The best is always a difficult question to ask. Of course, the greatest of documentary is no doubt Lanzmann's Shoah. I think that stands by itself. I don't think Lanzmann is right when he says that there shouldn't be any feature films about them. There are parts of Schindler's List that I think are excellent, even though one can criticize other aspects of it. I'm not sure that, you know, I've sort of covered.
COPD, including chronic bronchitis and emphysema, should not be taken with important care. Simbacort may increase your risk of lung infections, osteoporosis, and some eye problems. Tell your doctor about a heart condition or high blood pressure to attend. My COPD, I'll be that I had to wait to do what I wanted to do.
Oh my God. Look at this. Look at
mean, that don't mean it's not a camera. Ticks me off, man. To be a short one. That's the tag right there. Object, mind space, and others. such a smaller script. I know you. I know. Are you kidding me? What is going on? And others, I don't get it. Normal embedded tag, and I don't know why it's not working. I really don't. It's kicking my tail too. Why it's not working. Every single one of them. And I think that's a bunch of bull crap. Okay. Too much of it, probably. Oh. That screen is on. I got it to work. I chopped off something. And three touchdowns. Testing, 1, 2, 3. I think that's the problem. But what happened to the thing right here? Testing. 1, 2, 3. Get this out here. Jeez. Why isn't it doing that anymore? You know, see how it kind of works out? It's kind of weird. But see, now it's not working like the way it should be working. Instead, it's like whatever, you know. I think that's a bunch of bullcrap. Now, what happened? You know what I'm saying? What happened to the. Unless it's another one, and that's just for podcasts. Let me try this. Let me see. Let's quit this one. I think that might be what it's for. Why? But why is it showing the thing then? Okay, let me see. Isn't it two of those or one of those? I think that's a bunch of bullcrap. Because yesterday I had all that stuff on there, and I don't have anything. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Where is it? Yeah, here I come. In the world. Man, I don't know, dude. It was working pretty fine. It's working doggone fine. It was working. Why are you doing that? Nah, so now it's not working.
And then that fourth down plays, you go to your best place, you go to it, you go with one of your best guys. You know, it's a bummer. You know, there's a lot of football left. We're 6-3 and still top of the division, and hopefully we learn from it. And, you know, we certainly have a lot of plays to go out there and execute and win the game. We just a couple turnovers in the red area and some missed opportunities where we kick field goals. What else we do? Yeah, we had miscommunication on the person, so we just wanted to make sure we had it right. And, yeah, he's a great player for us, and he's playing these games, and he always finds a way to be a huge player in big games. And came up in today, West played good, offensive line played good. I think you meant this team, you got to play 60 minutes, and if you don't, you know, you get beat, you're up 13 with 4 minutes left, and if you can't close them out, then you think, well, it's going to sit with us for a long time.
The game is not over, obviously, you know, the short moment is missed, but what do you think you need to kind of find out how to get you from that house to turn that person?
Yeah, he's a good player. He leads those guys all the time. He, you know, completed a few balls there and get ready on the slant there. And, you know, second and one or whatever it was, second and two. You know, Reggie's a great player. And it's hard to keep those guys out of the end zone when they get down close. They're just so dynamic. They've got a lot of weapons at their disposal. So, you know, they force on them. You've got to give up a lot of praise. They make the plays when they need to. Replay, I didn't see it, but you know, maybe it was closer than that. Who knows? So, you know, game comes down to a half yard. That's a big team, we're playing third place. So they deserve to win. They made more plays in the end than we did, but you know, I think we're 6-3. And we got 7 games left. And we got to make improvements. And we got to get better.
In comparison to the two gunslinging quarterbacks tonight. Really, two of the best we've ever seen from a white shirt. Manning gets the victory. Manning 9 of 11 in the fourth. Colts for 21 points in the quarter. Here, back to Brady says, I love the Colts. That's going to be the headline. That'll be the quote tomorrow. You're Tom Brady for a second.
Yeah, it's been against us nice and easy.
think that sends a lot of messages, the message you sent to your office, saying, oh, we're going to get the Air Force 2 yards. We're the greatest offense in the world. We can get this.
Patriots start number 33-52 on 4th-and-2 or less since Tom Brady came to start. That's 63.5%. I'm not sure you like those. I'll look for one. That's all it counts to do is 0-0-0, right? Give me, I don't know. Now I don't know who's better.
I mean, the Patriots dominate this football game in every area. I think the Patriots are a great football team, and I think they have one of the great coaches of all time. But tonight, he was not one of the great coaches of all time. And you are what you are. And tonight, the Colts found a way to lose. The Patriots completely found a way to lose.
We were talking about the break. When is that call, that 4-2 acceptable? Is it on the 38 is acceptable? On the 48 is acceptable? No.
Because every day you start.